Well, good evening. It's good to be with you. My name is Matt Patrick. I'm the RUF campus minister at Wofford College up the road in Spartanburg. And one of the joys of my job as an RUF campus minister, as a campus minister of our denomination, is that I get to go around and worship with God's people around in our presbytery. And this is just really sweet for me to do, and particularly at second, because Dr. Phillips was, and him and Mel both were involved in my licensure and ordination process. And I was shepherded through that process by both of those men, and Mel was on my ruling elder on my commission at my ordination service. And so there's a personal connection just for me here to this church and with the long history in our denomination and supporting Reformed University Fellowship. So it is just good to be with you this evening and worship our Lord. If you'll turn in your Bibles now, I believe the page here is 1140 in the Pew Bible. This is John chapter 10, and those are the verses we're going to be focusing on. And we're going to be seeing tonight on the front end, we're going to be seeing that Christ is our good shepherd. Christ is our good shepherd. And in getting ready for this sermon, I wanted to read some about sheep. Sheep have kind of gotten a bad rap. I wanted to see for myself. So my research ranged from Wikipedia articles to, there was some scholarly research in there as well. But here are some of my findings. I want to read this to you. Sheep are frequently thought of as unintelligent animals. Their flocking behavior and quickness to flee in panic can make shepherding a difficult endeavor for the uninitiated. Despite these perceptions, a University of Illinois monograph on sheep reported them to be just below pigs on par with cattle in IQ. One study shows that sheep can recognize individual human faces and remember them for years. In addition to long-term facial recognition of individuals, sheep can also differentiate emotional states through facial characteristics. Sheep have also responded well to clicker training. It's been reported that sheep have apparently shown problematic or problem-solving abilities. So one thing is certain, though, in all of my sheep research that I did not read is that, first, they're prone to wander. And two, the main cause of death for sheep is being killed by predators. The reality is, brothers and sisters, you know this, we are prone to wander. And there are all kinds of dangers in this life, in a fallen world of sin and death that threaten us. And so the reality is this, we need a shepherd, don't we? We need a shepherd for protection and guidance. So that's what we're going to see, Christ as our good shepherd. If you'll turn now in your Bible, direct your attention to God's Word. He's given it to us because He loves us and He wants us to be more like His Son in reading it and me preaching it and us living it out in our everyday lives. So hear God's Word. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. This is verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let me pray for us. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we come to You and we bow low. We come to You with much anticipation as we open Your Word here, because we trust that it's living and active, words of life. And we trust that in the proclamation of Your Word and hearing it, believing it, and obeying it, we long to be like Your Son, Lord. And so would You do that work now, I pray in His name. Amen. So as I mentioned, Christ is our Good Shepherd. And we're going to see two things about Him as our Good Shepherd. The first thing we're going to see is that He knows His sheep. Christ knows His sheep. The second thing we will see is that He keeps His sheep. He knows His sheep. He keeps His sheep. So in verses 14 and 28, what we see here is that Jesus proclaims that He knows intimately. He knows His sheep. He repeats Himself. If you've read the Gospels, you know Jesus likes to repeat certain words. He wants to get our attention. Christ is not playing around as He repeats Himself. He's saying that He knows His sheep and they know Him. There's a deep mutual knowledge going on here. Look at verse 15 again. Just as the Father knows Me and I know the Father, and I lay down My life for the sheep. Jesus knows His sheep so deeply that He compares it to His relationship with His Father. Christ is saying, I know my own know Me, just as I know the Father and the Father knows Me. One scholar puts it this way, because this is a profound thing that Jesus is doing here. This is one scholar. The bond between Jesus and His flock is so thick, it's as thick as the bond between God the Father and the Son. This is profoundly challenging for us to wrap our minds around this reality that Christ's knowledge of His sheep is like His knowledge of the Father, that relationship. But we need to know that the word to know here, I know My sheep and they know Me, it's referring to an intimate, personal and relational knowledge. When Jesus says He knows His sheep, He is not saying, yeah, I've met him or her once or twice. I've seen them in downtown Greenville eating at that restaurant that one time. I can't remember their name. That's not what Jesus is saying, thankfully. When He says He knows His sheep, He is saying that He knows them in the deepest way possible. How can He do this? Jesus can know His sheep because what we see in verses 15 and 17, He's the true shepherd that lays His life down for the sheep. Jesus is referring here again, to His resurrection or His crucifixion here at the cross. Jesus sacrificed Himself for His people. And unlike false shepherds who put their own interest above their sheep, Christ sacrifices His life for His sheep. Jesus puts the interest and well-being and salvation of His sheep at the forefront of His sacrifice. We also see that Jesus knows His sheep because the sheep hear His voice. The sheep hear His voice. Look at verses 27 again. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. So rather than being a shepherd that exploits the sheep for his own needs and personal gain, etc., or talks condescending to them, Jesus speaks softly to his sheep. He directs them. He guides them. He protects them. And surely the audience here would have been so familiar, certainly of Old Testament imagery of shepherds. Psalm 23, we've gotten at this as we have sang that song. He's the shepherd who leads us beside still waters and leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Psalm 100 and Psalm 80 calls God the shepherd of His people. The prophet Isaiah prophesied about the one who would tend His flock like a shepherd and gather the lambs in His arms, one who will carry them close to His chest and gently lead those that are young. You see what's going on here? When Jesus says, I'm the true shepherd, he's saying that these Old Testament shepherd passages and all that imagery going on in the Old Testament is fully realized in Christ. That is what he's saying, and surely certain hearers would have gotten that. I am the one who will lead you beside still waters. This is Christ. I will be the one to lead you in paths of righteousness. I'm the one who will tend my flock like a shepherd and gather them in my arms. I'm the one who will carry you, son or daughter, close to my chest. I know my sheep and they know me. This is Christ, the true shepherd. So he speaks and his sheep, they hear. And then what? They follow. They trust him. So Jesus is the good shepherd in that first he knows his sheep. So how can we respond to this? How does this touch us? In a lot of ways, but surely it means that we should listen to his voice. We should listen to his voice as God's people. We must develop an ear and habits of listening to God's voice. And listening to God's voice, we're going to get into this in a second, in the scriptures for sure. But it also means silencing and ignoring other voices, doesn't it? Childhood voices that you might have heard, you don't matter. You're ugly, you're stupid, no one loves you. Voices in the culture, be perfect, there's no absolute truth in the world. And then there are lies straight from the pit of hell. God doesn't love you. God doesn't have a plan for what he's doing with this seemingly perplexing circumstance in your life, this trial or suffering. God can't forgive that sin. God can't use someone like you. You're too young. God has left you. You're alone. Give up. Have you heard these voices? It may be the case that some of you this evening might be hearing those voices very loudly right now. But we must learn how to listen to the shepherd's voice. So how do we do this? God's Word. God has given his Word to us to reveal himself to us, to draw us into a relationship with him that we might live to righteousness, to die to sin, to become like his Son. Listening to God's voice always involves listening to, trusting in God's Word. His promises, his challenges, his correction, his guidance. God's Word tells us who we are, where we're going. God's Word shows us who God is and where he's taking us. We must listen to God's voice in God's Word. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Is that you? Me too. Let us develop an ear for hearing God's voice in our everyday lives, through the Spirit for sure, but in God's Word, because he longs to call us and lead us to flourish as his sheep all the way up to eternal life. So he knows his sheep. He also keeps his sheep. He keeps his sheep. Look at me in verse 28. I give them eternal life and they'll never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. Verse 29. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Remember, there's repetition going on here. One commentator highlights the significance of this by saying this. Jesus is saying twice for emphasis, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and my sheep are those who are forever safe in my grip. And that grip is stronger than anything else in heaven or earth. God's people are safe in Christ's grip because that grip is strong. No one will be able to snatch one of God's children out of his hand. This means we have protection, security, and perseverance. His grip is so strong that it protects us from all harm that would endanger our soul, from false shepherds and leaders. The reality that Christ keeps his sheep is often referred to when you study the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. This will be a text that shows up very quickly, and rightfully so. Perseverance of the saints, as you know, is the idea that once God saves someone, there's nothing that can separate them from his love, from his grip, that he will not let them go. He's the author and perfecter of our faith, right? He's the one who began the good work, and he will finish, complete that work. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. This is beautiful, isn't it? That no trial, nothing in heaven on earth can separate us from Christ's grip. No sickness. Now, this is not to create some sense or spirit of licentiousness thinking, where one might conclude and be like, well, no one can snatch me out of God's hands, so I can kind of do whatever I want. Like, God's law doesn't matter anymore. You say hear his voice in God's word, but maybe I don't have to take that so seriously because you're emphasizing Christ's strong grip so much. No, that's not what I'm trying to emphasize at all. If anything, when Jesus is saying, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they know me, it should actually compel us on a regular basis to reevaluate whether or not we actually hear his voice or not. What voices are we following? It actually should not move us to licentiousness, but to actually do the hard work of repentance. To actually live like a sheep in the flock, right? That's just a helpful aside that I think we should address. Did you notice there's false shepherds that Jesus brings them up in this passage? That's how one scholar summarizes the false shepherds. We kind of talked about them briefly a few minutes ago. A hired man is not a real shepherd. The sheep mean nothing to them. He sees a wolf come and runs for it, leaving his sheep to be ravaged and scattered by the wolf. He's only in it for the money. The sheep don't matter to him. Not Jesus. Not the good shepherd. He keeps his sheep. He loves them. He cares about them. He protects them. He guides them. This is Christ. Nothing can snatch us away from his grip. I had several friends who have been ridden with anxiety, and certainly at Wofford College under my care. They have so much anxiety when it comes to their salvation. They're paranoid about whether or not they're truly Christians, whether or not they really have the Holy Spirit, they've been regenerated or not. Some think that they'll be left by God if they sin once. We have students that really think this. And I remember one of my friends who's now a minister, he had a kind of a spiritual awakening in college. And he said everything changed for him when he recognized essentially the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, what Jesus is getting at here in keeping his sheep. That for him, Christian discipleship, what he had grown up thinking was that it was all willpower. To like stay in God's flock was only up to him obeying the law and his obedience, which we just hinted at and directly addressed, is very, very important. But everything clicked for him, changed for him, when he understood God's faithfulness to him as a shepherd, like the imagery of a shepherd who will never let him go. Everything changed for him. Because my friend is one of Christ's sheep. Christ laid his life down for my friend. He knows my friend. He will keep my friend. So how can we respond to Christ as a good shepherd in keeping his sheep? Well, the first way is that we can rest in his grip with confidence. We can be grounded in this confidence in the ways in which he's caring for us. He's tending us, guiding us, but keeping us. So my students around midterms, what happens if their GPA goes down? Nothing can separate them from Christ's grip. Many of us who went home for the holidays are We've made New Year's resolutions, many of us do. And we've already broken them. We know we're prone to wander. Nothing can separate you from Christ's grip, brothers and sisters. I want to encourage you. Say to my students often, you know, that your roommate might not ever like you. Y'all might not be best friends. Your mom who has abandoned you might not ever love you the way that you deserved. Nothing can snatch you away from Christ's grip. He's the good shepherd. He keeps his sheep. There was an Australian shepherd, 61-year-old man. You might have heard of this story. He ran this crazy marathon. Over 500 miles in 6 days. And so, of course, you'd have to do a lot of your running at night, like when people were asleep. But this 61-year-old man, this Australian shepherd, wins this marathon. He wins it. And the reason he wins it is because while every other person that was participating in the race was running at night, when they were sleeping at night, he was actually running, and that's what made him win. And so someone asks him, like a journalist after, like, how in the world did you run while everyone was asleep? You're 61 years old. You're way older than everyone. How did this happen? This is what he said. I tricked myself into believing and imagining that my sheep were running away from me into the darkness, and I had to run after them to get them. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. This is me. This is you. Running into the darkness, Christ has rescued us, hasn't he? His body and blood, laying his life down for us. Oh, we need a shepherd. I need the good shepherd. Thankfully, brothers and sisters, and I hope that you can place your confidence in this, wherever you find yourself in life, in this journey of Christ-likeness that you're on, that you can know that Christ is the good shepherd. He's the shepherd that you need. You have everything that you need in Christ. He is a sufficient shepherd. You are in good hands. He knows you intimately, and he will keep you, and he will never let you go. Let me pray for us. Oh God, we do come to you this evening humbly. We know how easy it is to wander away from your will, your ways, the means of grace, your church. Oh Lord, we do come. We come humbly, and we also come with gratitude. Because of John 10, we read that Christ is the good shepherd, the shepherd that we need. Lord, I do pray that the people of Second Presbyterian Church would continue to put their confidence in the good shepherd, that he knows the sheep here, and the sheep here hear his voice, and that he keeps these sheep. Lord, you are so good to us, so kind and loving. Be with us now, as we continue to worship you and as we go into the work week tomorrow, we pray through Christ who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.